Welcome once again, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast. Along with Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. Podcast at baseballamerica.com is the email address. We don't usually get any podcast questions about college baseball, but you're welcome to send them in, Jerome. And we'll read them on the air. It's our New Year's resolution. You can also send those in for our regular podcast later on this week. This is the Irregular College Podcast, which actually is a regular podcast every Monday, brought to you by DeMarini. We thank them for the sponsorship. And Aaron, let's just jump right into it at the Baseball America Top 25 rankings. The big DeMarini bat down the left side and the big DeMarini out of the top.
Go DeMarini.
That's right. In the Baseball America Top 25, a change at the top. And you really just have to give Arizona State credit, Aaron. They're 17-0, only two undefeated teams in the whole country. Start off at number 9, just right out of the gate. They've been playing the best. They're raking like crazy. They keep on hitting. They've been better up the middle than anyone thought. And despite losing Jason Jarvis in the last week to academic ineligibility, this team just keeps on winning. And this weekend, they pitched very, very well against Troy. And 17-0 is 17-0. So Arizona State leapfrogs Arizona to jump to number 1 in our rankings.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think there was a lot of hesitation when we made this move in the meeting today. Even though we, you know, in general, as a rule, we hate dropping a team that won a weekend series against a ranked opponent like right. Arizona did. I mean, that's, you know, that's a good weekend.
Absolutely.
And ordinarily, we would certainly leave them right where they were at number 1, but I think the preponderance of the evidence, the bulk of the seasons here, you have to consider the fact that Arizona State has done everything, like you said, that we've asked them to do. They've played a good schedule. Granted, it's been all basically right there close to home.
Right.
But they played a good schedule, and they're 17-0. I mean, you know, and this week in particular was an important week for them because they had those two midweek games against Arkansas and three against Troy. They were going to have some pitching questions, and they ended up having to bring Mike Leake back for a second start on Sunday. I think we all saw that coming, but he's just one of those guys who's got that elastic arm, bounced back, and threw another 6-plus strong innings on Sunday. So I think Arizona State right now, not only are they beating teams, John, but they're just doing it with so much style. I mean, I think the stat that you mentioned today was that they've out-homered their opponents 31-4.
That's crazy.
They've got more walks and strikeouts offensively. I mean, this offense is scary good once again, and the pitching staff has been more than good enough.
We knew they could be the best offense in the country. We did. We thought that was true. They've pitched better than we thought. You have to give them credit for the way they've pitched. They've competed extremely well. I mean, this week they played 5 games against, I think, probably regional teams, Arkansas and Troy. If they're not regional teams, they're going to be awfully close. And they dominated them all. They rocked them all. So here's my Arizona State analogy to tie it in with March Madness, Aaron. You can see if you agree with me. We'll see if Arizona State pitching, like you said, Leak, like they did. Basically, our Leak and Satow going to be like Kyle Singler is to Duke. And Duke basketball got to a great start this year. They're 5-4 in their last 9 games, and they've faded toward the end of the season. Is Arizona State's pitching going to be able to hold up over the season, over the churn of the 56-game compacted schedule? And what will they have left in the tank in the postseason? We already know they're going to be in the postseason. We already know they're going to compete for a Pac-10 championship. But that's not really even all they're about. We have them number 1 because we think they can win a national championship. Will they have enough pitching left at the end of the year? Like right now, I think a month ago people thought Duke could win the national championship in basketball. I don't think anybody thinks that right now because, frankly, they look gassed. And Kyle Singler specifically looks gassed. I'm wondering if it's the same thing you can say that about Duke's, I mean, about Arizona State's pitching.
And I think
it's a basketball
honestly,
analogy, but that's where I'm heading.
And you know what? I mean, we're going to see a lot of this kind of double duty, I think, from Leake and Satow and neither of those guys are really big guys, especially Satow's kind of a little guy, but also neither of them is really a power pitcher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe they can pull this off.
And guess what? They mostly did this last year. You know, those two guys threw a ton last year, and they weren't the reason they didn't do well in Omaha last year. Those guys were both solid in Omaha. It was Brian Flores and Jason Jarvis who didn't pitch well in Omaha for them last year.
And their bats weren't as good as they had been. It was actually I think the offensive failure was.
Yeah, they didn't respond. They didn't score against Oregon State. So
we'll see what happens. I mean, I still think, you know, if you put me on the spot, do I think they're a better team than Arizona State? More better positioned, I should say, to win the national title? No.
Than Arizona,
excuse me. I just think that the pitching depth will be a factor. I mean, I know that people, you know, we've been saying that all year long. Well, it's only, 4 weeks in now.
Yeah.
That's a third of the season.
Virtually, yeah. 17 games out of 56.
So, I mean, that's substantial, but, I mean, it's a 56-game season, John. Pitching depth will be a factor, and people are probably sick of hearing us say that, but it will be.
And you go to Omaha, you're talking 65 games. So, 65, close to 70 games you're going to have to play. And
that said,
they're the best team in the country right now.
That's the best team in the country right now. And John, I will add this. I had them in my eighth for Omaha last year after the College World Series. So it's not like we hated these guys.
Yeah,
we had them number nine in the preseason. Clearly, we thought they're a strong contender for Omaha.
Absolutely.
Still clearly think that.
I would be shocked if they don't go to the College World Series for the third time in 4 years. And that is by far the high point of this program under Pat Murphy.
Yeah.
They'd only been to Omaha once previously in 98. Until 2005, and now they're on this run. 2 and 3 years, and I think it'll be 3 and 4. But Arizona State's a fascinating team. We could make the whole podcast about Arizona State.
We've already gone 6 minutes about them. Let's shift gears, we can
keep on talking. How about the other undefeated team? Let's shift gears a little bit on the other undefeated team, Kentucky, at 18-0, a 7-win week. Why are they 16 and Arizona State is 1? What do you think on that?
Because, you know, you've got to play a tough schedule. And this was a big weekend, I think, for Kentucky to show that they can keep this going against an SEC team. I mean, Alabama, I think, is probably the weakest SEC team in my mind.
They're down there.
Into the year. But still, you know, you sweep those guys. Granted, it's at home, but that's taking care of business. So finally, I think Kentucky is starting to get some quality wins under its belt. Up until this point, they've just completely bludgeoned teams that are not even close to, in my opinion, being regional caliber teams. I think that they're ranked appropriately. I think number 16 is about where they are. I think they're a super regional contender. And if you're a super regional contender, then obviously you're also an Omaha contender.
That's exactly right.
But I don't think they're an Omaha favorite right now. It is a long season, but I think that, you know, clearly if you're Kentucky, you've got to be happy with the pitching, with Scott Green and you know, the veterans with Rusin and,
Albrowski
and Albers.
Yeah.
All those guys have been very solid.
And Sawyer Carroll, speaking of veterans, Sawyer Carroll and Colin Calgood is ripping the cover off the ball.
Absolutely, and they've gotten contributions from other guys like Keenan Wiley, and it's a very good, balanced offense from top to bottom, and the pitching staff is solid. I think Kentucky's a very good club, and we'll see just how good here as the SEC season gets going.
It's the Baseball America podcast. I'm John Manuel. He is Aaron Fitt. Aaron, the other team that played the cream puff schedule of all cream puff teams was Virginia, Lehigh, Coppin State, Old Dominion, which was their best early season win, Siena and Cornell, VMI. That was Virginia's pre-conference schedule.
And I feel obliged to point out that we did pick Siena to win their conference. Granted, it's still not a very good
Yeah,
early
it's
season
Siena.
Game.
I'm sorry, it's an MAAC team.
Yeah.
And that's an MAAC without Lemoyne, a drastically weakened MAAC. But two road series in conference, North Carolina State and Duke. And Duke baseball playing better than Duke basketball right now. Let's give it up for Sean McNally. Sean McNally doing a great job at Duke right now. But two weekend series and two losses for Virginia in ACC play. They're 2-4 in the league. It does get a little bit easier for them to go home to play BC and Virginia Tech the next two weekends. I expect them to stay in the rankings, but they moved down to 24. Is this a fraud team of the year right now, Aaron? The worst 14-4 team you're going to see? What is going on at Virginia? Why are they off this rough start, considering they're 2-4 in their league?
And I was sorely tempted, John, to run them all the way out of the top 25. I just think you start out 11-0, you know, best start in school history, great. But it didn't really mean anything because we knew already Virginia was much better, much, much better than any of those teams that they played.
They
didn't prove anything to us. Now they've had two weekends in conference play, and you know, to go to NC State and lose that series, I mean, that, you know, NC State's a good club. They're both good pitching clubs. That series could have gone either way, and it didn't go their way. Okay,
right. So we didn't really hit them that hard for that.
Right. We kind of left them roughly in the same neighborhood. But you know what? You just gotta win that series at Duke. And I know Duke is an improved team. And since it's St. Patrick's Day, John, I want to give special credit to a Boston native on Duke's club, Alex Hassan, who's just been playing out of his mind right now.
He is having a great year.
With the bat and also out of the bullpen. He's hitting .434 on the season now overall. He had a big week for them like I said, both ways. So, I mean, he's a big reason for their success there.
I believe it's pronounced Hassan.
Is it Hassan?
I think it is, but he's got four saves out of their bullpen. He's the number two hitter. Everyone on this team goes two ways, all these Duke guys, and they've got a couple young arms to watch out for, Grant Monroe and Chris Mano. Grant Monroe, a freshman, right-hander, doesn't have the big strikeout walk numbers, but I guess it's his dad, who was Larry Monroe in the White Sox scouting department. This guy can really play, and they also have a freshman shortstop they like, had a big game-winning hit this weekend, Jake Lemmerman, who's a Californian. Duke is interesting. They're not going to be a bottom feeder. The ACC so far, giving some signs, it's going to have a little bit more balance. It's always been top-heavy.
Boston College this weekend.
That's where I was headed. Boston College taking care of Clemson this weekend, winning 2 or 3. And the ACC is a little less top-heavy than we are accustomed to, and that's pretty interesting. That's a good sign for the Atlantic Coast Conference. Speaking of less top-heavy, go ahead.
Last thought on that, John, is what would you have said going into the year if I would have told you that Clemson and Virginia would both lose their first two series in conference play against teams like
Boston College
and Wake Forest and NC State? I mean, they're not even playing the teams that we regarded, I think, as the top teams in this league. I think those are all solid teams.
Right.
But not the teams that we expected to be the top teams.
I would have said that is weird, wild stuff. I would have said that's a little bit skewed, a little bit weird. But speaking of top-heavy leagues that are not top-heavy this year, the Pac-10. We could do weekly Pac-10 podcasts for Pac-10Baseball.com if they wanted us to, but they haven't asked. But Long Beach State sweeps Southern California. That's the only negative, really. No, there are two negatives of the Pac-10 all year. Oregon State, slow start. The Beavers are out of the top 25 rankings this week. And then UCLA is coming back from a slow start. You've got Cal playing exceedingly well. What was the big story in the West for you this week besides the Arizona State?
Well, let me.
Because you got Washington State going to Oklahoma, winning 3 out of 4.
Yeah, that's
what made me start on this whole train of thought.
But I wanted to also add, I mean, Oregon State. You mentioned we ran them from the polls.
They
did have a 2-1 week. If you count the Monday win against San Diego, a blowout win against San Diego State.
You have to count it.
You do have to count it. But split 2 with Nevada. You know what? The biggest reason we ran these guys after a 2-1 week, which you know we don't usually do, but the fact is that they're not a top 25 team right now, John. This is a team that's supposed to be built on pitching and defense, and they're not doing a very good job preventing their opposition from scoring runs.
That's the whole bottom line. We rank them mostly because of Mike Stutes and George Reyes.
Yeah.
And those guys both got pounded this weekend.
Again, those guys have been really, for lack of a better word, bad so far this year. Very disappointing. And that's got to be a major, major concern for Oregon State. It's a concern for me when I evaluate this team.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. Is they are the reasons we rank them. I mean, they're not winning, first of all. They're 7-6, so they're not winning. And second of all, opponents have hit 11 home runs in 13 games against them. You know, Mike Stutes has given up 5 in 21 innings. Stutes and Reyes are their two guys, and Reyes' ERA is 11.15, and Stutes is 7.29, period. They're not a top 25 team, like you said. Oregon State really has been the biggest disappointment in the Pac-10, and Washington State, the best story really in the Pac-10, I think, outside of Arizona State, and Arizona's amazing beginning, the fact those two teams are 29-2 combined. But Washington State going to Oklahoma, which has been a borderline top 25 team all year, goes up there and wins 3 of 4. It's a big week. It's a very big week for Washington State. So it's a Baseball American podcast. I'm John Manuel. He's Aaron Fitt. Speaking of West Coast teams, UC Irvine and the Big West get the Big West a second top 10 team. Long Beach State up to number 7 after sweeping Southern Cal. Irvine up to 14-1. Certainly one of the hottest teams in the country. The Anteaters are pitching outrageously well. It is really amazing.
Yeah.
That team's success right now is pretty incredible.
But it's the bats that were the biggest question mark with them coming into the year, and they scored runs this weekend, John.
So did Long Beach.
You're exactly right. And actually, you know, going into the weekend, Long Beach was averaging like 3 or 4 runs a game. I mean, it was really not very impressive. They were just getting it done because they're so good on the mound and defensively. But you know, Irvine, I mean, you know, they scored 9 runs and then 14 runs and 13 runs against Hawaii. They're getting First of all, incredible production from Ollie Linton at the top of the order. He's been the biggest part of this thing, but Ryan Fisher has come in as well and just continued to hit. Francis Larson had a big weekend, a guy that I think I expected to see more out of as a freshman last year. He was a big recruit for them as a potential power bat. I think he's starting to come around 5 for 5 in the first game of that doubleheader Saturday, and then 3 more hits in the second game. So, you know, they're getting offense as well as pitching.
Right.
We knew that Scott Gorgon was an All-American.
They're not just one-dimensional right now.
Exactly, and we hoped Bryce Stoll would be, we thought he would be good, and he has been. But we ended up deciding Irvine should be jumped up a little bit, rewarded in the rankings this week. A little bit of an unusual move again for us to jump them over teams like Cal and UCLA that had good weeks.
We're at about the 25-33% level of games played for a lot of these teams. Everyone's playing between 15 and 18 games, pretty much. And so we've got a little bit better feel for these guys. Everyone's played more than a quarter of their season. And it's just obvious that Irvine and Florida State right now are just playing fantastic. Florida State takes their first loss during the week to Georgia. But then Georgia Tech, which have been playing very, very well. Not well enough to be ranked because they weren't scoring, but close. And just houses Georgia Tech. And that was very, very impressive for Florida State. And yeah, Florida State does that at home to people sometimes. They just, right. You know, they get at Dick Howser Stadium, and sometimes they just embarrass people.
You know what? That's a good pitching staff Georgia Tech has.
It is. And that's the surprising thing. And that's why I thought Florida State, that's what made me really think, okay, Irvine scored, Florida State really did go crazy offensive. I was a little resistant to moving those two teams up at first, but we did hit South Carolina reasonably hard for losing their series. But, you know, they did lose midweek to Yale. That's that's a bad loss. Is that loss worse than Long Beach State losing at home to Western Illinois? I don't know. Maybe not.
We actually debated that this morning.
That's exactly right. We actually did debate that. But, you know, Long Beach State recovered and swept a good Southern California team.
And Long Beach State has had one of the most impressive early seasons, in my mind, the first 4 weeks. Despite their bats, the fact that they've been able to go 12-3, and you know, now the bats are coming around. But they've won some series against some real quality opponents like Rice and Wichita State.
I think Long Beach State's the best team in California.
Wow.
And that's a good team. But they're the highest-ranked team we have in the state of California. I think they're the best team. I think they are better than Irvine. I think they're better than UCLA. I think they're the best team. UCLA has started to hit. That's good. For UCLA.
I'll tell you what, John. We'll find out a lot about that this weekend when we've got UCLA and Long Beach in a three-game series.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that one. Wish that was on college baseball television, which would be an awesome thing if that existed. But that would be on cable channel 3000, I think, if we were to invent that. Sponsored by DeMarini.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the Baseball America podcast. I'm John. He's Aaron. Last thing, Aaron, we got a chance to see Coastal Carolina in person. Obviously, we were impressed. Coastal Carolina jumps into the rankings this weekend. Not necessarily on the strength of beating Michigan, but they did beat Michigan. They split two. Played a couple of they played three games against ranked teams this week and won 2 out of 3 of those games. They were on my Omaha sleeper. But I'll let you explain why they were my Omaha sleeper. What do we see and what do you see out of Coastal Carolina that prompted us to rank them this week?
It's very similar to, I think, what they had last year. It's a really good, balanced, well-coached team. They've got some key bats back and guys like David Sepelt and Tommy Baldridge. And, you know, they've gotten great starts from guys like Doc Doyle and a lot of stolen bases.
Doc Doyle, fun to say the names on this team. Bobby Gag, Doc Doyle,
that's right.
David Sepelt, the all-main team.
Scott Woodward, as a freshman, has come in and stolen 17 bases in 18 attempts. I mean, it's a good offense.
He has a very mediocre name, Scott Woodward.
It's kind of run-of-the-mill, I think.
It is run-of-the-mill.
But these guys, you know, they'll beat you a lot of different ways, and they can pitch, as we saw. I mean, David Anderson scattered 10 hits against Carolina, but he's just a guy who makes the right pitch at the right time.
Yeah, he just competes and throws strikes and makes you beat him.
Which is, you know, kind of like Bobby Gag. I mean, none of these guys are really overpowering, except maybe Nick McCulley, who's been racking up the strikeouts, so he didn't pitch great this weekend.
But it's a
very good club, John, and they've been knocking on the door of the top 25 for the last few weeks, even entering the season. And, you know, finally they had a chance to show what they could do against some ranked teams, and they took care of business, so they entered the rankings at number 21.
You got to respect that. You got to respect taking care of business, just like Nebraska and East Carolina that also came in with them with combined 25 consecutive games, one between the two of them, 13
right.
for the Huskers and 12 for the Pirates.
And it was, I think it was hard leaving out teams that like Central Florida and Texas A&M and Pepperdine, which is a team that I've been wanting to rank all year.
You and your Pepperdine.
You know, I think Pepperdine's a top 25 caliber club, but this wasn't the week to do it because even though they won a weekend series against a good Oral Roberts club, they did lose the midweek game. You know, they're 13-5. They've got a few, you know, a few losses sprinkled in every week that has kind of prevented us from really being overwhelmed and running them in.
Well, they go to Oregon State next weekend, another one to watch, another series to watch. That's going to be...
The winner of that series should be ranked, I would think, next week.
I think so. But next weekend's a good weekend of college baseball. You got a lot of league play around a lot of the country.
Yeah. Baylor, Missouri is another one I'm looking forward to in the Big 12, which we hadn't really talked about today.
Oh, wow. How about Missouri? I mean, you can look at your top 25 tracker, but that was ridiculous. Missouri's pitching this weekend. I know it was out of conference and all that, but very impressive for Missouri. I just like we said, though, it is March, and I already made a couple college basketball references, and it's easy sometimes to lose sight of college baseball this time of year, but not for us. It's a great time of year. The conference season is starting, and we're already talking about next weekend's series. I mean, we're going to be looking at that Pepperdine-Oregon State series or Long Beach State and UCLA. A couple of great ones to watch on the West Coast. Gee, this is news, Aaron. Good teams on the West Coast this year.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, I had that happen. Well, we'll talk about it all next Monday. Thanks for checking into this week's Baseball America podcast. Until next time, so long, everybody.